Luke 9. Verse 34. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear you him." And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days of any of the things which they had seen. There's something mysterious about the cloud. It's the word Nephila. And let's look at a few. Let's go to Exodus 13.
Kind of went by 33 kind of fast. I wanted to, before we left off yesterday, I thought we were talking more about 33.
Oh, the let us make a tabernacle?
Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, we've talked about it before. It's quintessential man trying to get in the middle of it. But the last line is most interesting, not knowing what he said. But what does that mean? Does that mean that... Well, what does that mean?
Well, it's the same thing that's said in other places when they literalized the parable.
What?
Literalized the parables. So here... This idea of making a monument to this event he thought it was a good idea, but he didn't realize that he was then literalizing the parable. And it's the same thing. It doesn't matter whether it's St. Peter's Basilica or anybody thinking the Trinity Foundation is special, there's a tendency to want to stop the scene by putting up a monument or a... and once you do that, then you have blocked yourself seeing the parable.
Was it Luke who wrote that, knowing what he said? I mean, so Luke was kind of like writing down the events, and then at the end of this he thought that was really stupid. He really didn't know what he was doing. He was really out of bounds when he did that.
Right.
So this is Luke's kind of
commentary.
Editorial.
Right. Because more than likely everybody would have thought that was a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we have... You know, all these so-called sacred places. That's gunk. There's no place that's any more sacred than any other place. There's no place any more holy than any other holy place. There's no person any more saintly than any other. I mean, we create these images. So does that clear it up?
Yeah, it was, like I said, not knowing what he said.
Would you do your duty?
Okay, thank you. Exodus what?
We're going to Exodus 13. Now you made me lose Exodus. There's any number of places we could have gone for this one, but this is the guidance of the cloud. And so let's go to verse Let's start in verse 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although there that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And I have no idea what that means. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped at Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. To go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor by the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So again, it's God's guidance. Here, let's go to Exodus 16.
So when you say the cloud is down, it's God's guidance telling us to wait.
Well, if the cloud is down, that means you have more than one option. So you have to try to make a decision. As I've said so often that nobody believes me, I don't think. A believer never has to make a decision. If you still have enough strength to make a decision, you'll more than likely make the wrong one. All right, Exodus 16. This is just one verse. And it came to pass, in verse 10, it came to pass as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And so let's go to 2 Chronicles, chapter 5. This is where the ark is brought into the temple. And the whole of the congregation of Israel is watching. Solomon's temple has been finished. All the furnishings are brought in, and now the ark is brought in. Chapter 5, starting in verse 10. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables which Moses put therein at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were pressed were sanctified, and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites which were the singers of all them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, and with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Now we're only doing this, looking at this idea of the cloud, to see what we're seeing. I'm not going to Let's go and see in Acts 1. Well, let's read the start in verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me, saith he, which you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So get the cloud received him at his ascension. And then in, we could go there, but I don't feel like doing it. It's in Thessalonians, it says that we will meet him in the air in a cloud. Now, the cloud Let's go to Numbers 9. This one we've read many times, but it's imperative that we see again the importance of this mystery of the cloud. The reason that everything happened in the Old Testament, it happened for our benefit, so that we can see how Israel was guided in the wilderness, how we're guided. Well, let's read it. On the day, in chapter 9, verse 15, on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. Now you are the tabernacle of the living God. That's what the scriptures declare. You've been a tabernacle or temple for another God your whole life. This God has been masquerading as you. And his purpose was to keep you alone. Keep you always having hope in something other than the resurrection. so that you walk in deception. Now there's a one who has a greater right than the God of the world that that's been your God your whole life. So here we go. And so it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. When the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that, the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. According to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from evening unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle remaining therein, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents. At the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses.
Wow.
Now, everything in us, from the day that we became aware of ourselves, we have not even known that a cloud existed. When we struggled with something, we just thought it was what we were supposed to do. When we had decisions to make and we'd go through and come, whatever methods we use, then we'd come up and find the best option, and that would be the decision. And now the commandment of the Lord is something totally different, something that's not known to the Gentile world. And that commandment of the Lord is the cloud. And that cloud is manifested in you as doubt. If you have more than one option, then the cloud is down. And so you journey not. You wait in the cloud. You rest in the tabernacle until the cloud is taken up. Whether it's 2 days or a month or a year or 10 years or 30 years, you wait. Well, that's so this mystery of the cloud is big. Everybody understand?
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to Luke. Cloud. Well, he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them. No, overshadowed is episkiazo. And it happened here at the Transfiguration. It happened when the cloud came upon that overshadowed the Virgin Mary. Let's look at that, Luke 1. Verse 34. And Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, for the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So it happened here now, but it also happened with Peter. Let's go to Acts 5. The whole thing about being overshadowed. It's essentially, overshadowed means you are swallowed up in this. They were swallowed up in the cloud. Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And here, Peter, in verse chapter, Acts 5, remember, what happened in the first part of Acts 5 is Ananias and Sapphira were killed by the Holy Ghost because they lied. And that was spread abroad so that great fear was upon all of the church. And then in verse 12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they are all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, there's no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And the believers were more added to the multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. So again, here, because of the great fear that came upon the church, then even the shadow of Peter overshadowed them for healing. So now I just wanted you to get the feeling of what that overshadowing is. All right, back to Luke. There is an incredible... Let me go back a minute. I had a good friend named Preston Jones. And Preston Jones was a very bright man. He was a playwright. He wrote the Texas Trilogy. And he was an atheist, he claimed to be. And he... But he loved the Catholic Church. He loved the Mass. He loved the drama of the Mass. Now, but he also invented Jesus' older brother, Frank Christ, who, and Frank was all upset at, anyway, you can imagine what he did to that. He was always busting me because he, but anyhow, that's another story. But I want you to come to an understanding that there is a holiness and a majesty about him with whom we have dealings that we tend to, we in essence, all of us want to be Catholics because we want a, we don't want to have Bible studies in a rat trap. We want to have Bible studies and we want to worship God in a temple. We want it to be magnificent and awe-inspiring. And yet for the first century church, that was a no-no. Why?
I used to want that. I don't want that now. I like what we have here.
But
I've been to other churches, big churches, and you're just...
I'm not sure I follow that line of thinking when we read about 120 guys blowing a trumpet. We just read that a minute ago, and all the pomp and circumstance going on at the temple. Isn't that pretty much the same as the rite or the ritual that you're referring to? Not necessarily because it's Catholic. It could be Episcopalians do that big time also. It doesn't seem to follow to me.
Well, I'm just saying that I'm not trying to say Catholics are any better than Episcopalians or anything, but I'm just saying that there is something that they understood about human nature.
Well, I understand your point about it being in a rat trap versus in a cathedral. That's I understand that. Doesn't make any difference. But it was going on back here too.
Right. But what I'm that's what the whole idea of the temple of God in Jerusalem was a parable. And it was a parable for the mystery that he wants us to see wherever our foot touches. That we don't need all of there's one in the Talmud it says there were 15,000 Levites in the choir. The music was so awe-inspiring, especially at the Feast of Tabernacles. There's one famous rabbi who danced on his thumb. there's that kind of humongous. You just talk about being overshadowed. You're swallowed up in this.
Just like the Transfiguration a minute ago.
Right, but my point to you is, we have to be in a position where we see that. We see his holiness wherever we are and whatever the situation is. It's not, we don't need, but by the same token, what we risk is we risk taking what we do have for granted. Because you don't take it for granted if when you go into the cathedral and you're essentially watching a play that you get involved in. That's why these big churches attract people.
Well, it isn't the church that's the problem. It's your interpretation of it, or how you succumb to it, and how you get yourself involved with it.
It is the church that's the problem. Because the only model we have for a church is this first century.
Well, but we're talking, and again, I don't mean to be argumentative, but you're talking about the church. Is the church and the temple the same?
No.
Oh. Well, their reaction to the spiritual thing is the
hoopla.
Louder, the more, the hoopla, yeah. I mean, that temple stuff sounds like mega churches to me.
All right. We didn't even get to where I wanted to get to.
Where did you want to get to?
The voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved son, hear you him." But I wanted to spend some time in the cloud. And I wanted to spend some time in this idea of it's this thing that I've made into cliche, that if everything in your life isn't spiritual, then nothing is. It's you don't go to events, or you don't create some melodrama in order to have a spiritual feeling. I want you to understand that God would have us see the mystery wherever we look, wherever we, in all things. That's why, remember we talked about this meaning of the glory, as doxa, and it means to be of opinion. But it means to be of opinion correctly. It means, and so the idea of doxa also means, or glorify, means to clarify. And to clarify, it's seeing as all and in all, not just in something that we think is right or some. Now that's the challenge. The challenge is that we would not look at anything, but we see through everything to see the glory of God. And that can only come from repentance. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Anybody else? Take it, big guy.